Monster Man, bonus episode, February 2024. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. Today's episode is a bonus episode going out to my Patreon backers at all levels, as a way of saying thank you for your continued support. In these informal, behind-the-scenes episodes, I talk about what I've been up to the previous month, what I've been doing, reading, watching, and playing. So, let's get started. The big news for this month was, of course, Zine Quest and my Kickstarter for my new zine, The Tome of Tombs. And The Tome of Tombs succeeded way beyond where I imagined. So, a few years ago, I did a Kickstarter for a zine called The Pamphlet of Pantheons. I had about 300 backers who together pledged about £1,500, and I was very pleased with it. Those figures are approximate, but that thing's about it right. I was very pleased with it, and I was really hoping that my return to Kickstarter after trying a couple of other crowdfunding platforms would equal the previous one, and it really surpassed it. Now, that's because I offered a more involved reward scheme, and I do know that that's going to wind up being more work on the back end, but because the additional rewards are things that I've already created and just need more inventory of, it's really the addressing and shipping that's going to be the difficult part. I'm not difficult, but time-consuming. Nonetheless, I have high hopes of getting it done, and I'm very grateful to everyone who pledged, and I hope that they're going to enjoy their zine when they get it. So, that hasn't left a lot of time for other things, because of course, it's not like my other jobs just stop while I'm running a Kickstarter, although, having said that, it was half-term for a week, which was a fortunate coincidence. I didn't plan it. But I did manage to get some reading done this month. Not as much as January, because in January I was on a boat. Yeah, so I read Legionary, which is one of those kind of fictitious guides to a historical thing. You know what I mean, like the Time Traveler's Guide to Medieval England or whatever. This one's about joining the Roman army. There was some fun stuff in there. I wish I'd read it before I did The Guide to Grunts, just because there was some fun details that were worth including. There were a few bits that I didn't agree with. I wouldn't take it as an authoritative guide. I'm far from an expert on life in the Roman army, but there were one or two things that I thought were maybe not wrong, but these books, the thing they do is they present interpretations as though they were certainties. I guess that's what I'll say. I read the rulebook for the game Brindlewood Bay, which was a Kickstarter that I backed ages ago. Well, I don't know, ages ago. Not that long ago, actually. And then the game itself arrived, I think last year, or maybe in early January, but I just hadn't had time to look at it because of the trip. I was a little uncertain whether I should count this as a book I read, because, of course, this is the new edition of Brindlewood Bay, but it overlaps significantly with the previous one. And, you know, is it really a new book? The thing about Brindlewood Bay, I love Brindlewood Bay, and I've had a great time playing it. And I've run three separate groups, one of them for a good number of sessions, and the others as one-shots. The thing is, I absolutely believe that the way the gaming market is right now, the Brindlewood Bay Kickstarter was a good idea, and I definitely think that that game is a good product. It's nice to have it in a good little, you know, hardback book. It's nice to see the art in color, etc. I sort of wish that the gaming market was in the place where the original Brindlewood Bay could be a big hit, because that game was lean and mean. I mean, it wasn't mean, you know, it's a very not mean game, but I don't dislike any of the stuff that was added to Brindlewood Bay by any means. I think it's good, but it is a bit of a shame that a little game like Brindlewood Bay can't be the big hit that it deserved to be. I read a Pen and Sword, I don't even remember the author's name, book called Armies of the Vikings, speaking of things that present interpretations as if they were conclusions. And it just had a very credulous approach to the sources. So for example, it told the story of Rurik, Sinias, and Truvor from the Russian Primary Chronicle as if it was like a historical fact without mentioning that these characters come from a document hundreds of years after the events that it purports to describe. And just a lot of other stuff. It was just a potted history of Viking military activity in Europe. It was bad, but there's just this unearned confidence in these books. I don't know that much about the Lith, the like system of military organization. I don't know that much about the technology of combat. You know, I know artifact typologies, but I don't know if we know anything. Well, I said to myself, actually, I was about to say, I don't know if we know anything. I thought we don't know anything, but here's this guy wrote a book about it, so let's check that out and see what he says. And what he says is just a mixture of repeating medieval chronicles as if they were newspaper reports and speculation, and then like treating those speculations as if they were statements of fact. Not recommended. I read the first volume of an old run of Ivar Timewalker by, I want to say, Fred Van Lente, and I forget the name of the artist. I should really write these things down more. Ivar Timewalker, whatever, it's, you know, it's kind of Doctor Who-ish. It's a Valiant title. Valiant comics turn up a lot at my local public library. I stopped working with the student who I regularly met at the public library, and so I don't go there very often anymore, and so I haven't read that many other comics. But the thing about Valiant, I assume they had some kind of deal for libraries, because it's so weird that there are so many Valiant comics in the library. I read this book, Blue Stockings, which is not the book Blue Stockings that just came out. It's an older book, not that much older, but, you know, it's not from like this month. And it's about, despite the fact that it's called Blue Stockings, it's not about the Blue Stockings, who were a group of kind of female intellectuals in the Georgian period, I guess. These Blue Stockings are sort of the earliest women undergraduates in Britain. So it was really about university life for women in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. It's really interesting. It was more like a lot of good anecdotes than it was any real analysis of the social phenomena. But if I were running a game in that context, like a Call of Cthulhu game among female undergraduates in the 20s, that would be really useful to me. And yeah, like I think it kind of added to my repertoire. And also I think I got it for a pound. I read the Chester Himes novel, A Rage in Harlem. Chester Himes came up in a conversation on, I want to say, Blue Sky, that I was watching about, you know, crime fiction. And he was sort of, I think, mentioned in the same breath as Walter Mosley. I like Walter Mosley, so I ordered a Chester Himes book, you know, secondhand, and I thought it was very good. It's interesting because my understanding is that Himes later developed this book into a series starring the kind of two detectives who turn up in it, Coffinhead and Gravedigger Jones. But they're not particularly important in the novel. Like, they're in it, but they're not the people the novel is about. Anyway, it's good. And I'm looking forward to reading some more Chester Himes. Next up, I read Neil Price's History of the Vikings, Children of Ash and Elm. Neil Price, as you may know, is a historian of the Vikings who I have a great deal of time for. Even when I don't agree with Neil Price, which is sometimes, I think he has very fresh and interesting ways of looking at the history of this period. If I had to recommend just one Neil Price book, I would recommend his book about magic in the Viking Age, The Viking Way. Again, I'm not so sure I agree with all of his interpretations, but I think it's very worthwhile that we start looking at aspects of belief and identity in the Viking Age in the way that Price has been thinking about them. And of course, I've been out of the game, so I imagine that Price's work has been as influential as it was on me. I'm sure that that is actually happening. Indeed, I know it's happening from the influence that I saw from Price in the collected volume, The Norse Sorceress, which I reviewed for 14 times. Film watching has really suffered. A lot of movie watching for me takes place on planes, so I only watched 3 films this month, and one of them was kind of half-watched during Bad Movie Night. Bad Movie Night, I don't always record the films. It only really is relevant if I really paid attention to them or I want to talk about them. I was out of the room making popcorn for a good chunk of this relatively short film. But so this month, I watched The Marvels. The Marvels, I think, in some ways has got a bad rap, and I do think that part of that is, you know, sexism. Part of it is definitely Marvel fatigue. And part of it is the fact that all of the bad parts of this film are at the beginning. A beginning which is baffling. I have seen all of the things that you're supposed to have seen in order to watch this movie. I even watched that Nick Fury show, which was bad. I don't know. Marvel films often kind of slide off me. So, like, I've seen most, if not all, of them. But that doesn't mean that I've retained them. And I went through the whole movie, not really sure if the villain was somebody where I was supposed to know who she was. I know she was meant to visually evoke Lee Pace's character, Ronan the Accuser, but I don't think, you know what, I don't know and it doesn't matter. Because in the end, I enjoyed the film a lot, and that is largely because of the charm of Iman Vellani as Ms. Marvel, who I think is really good. Not that the other performances were bad, but she's the standout to me. I think that willingness to embrace the kind of whimsy and silliness while still doing, like, big action and spectacle, I think that's really good. I thought the fight scenes and, like, set pieces were much more inventive and dynamic than they sometimes are in Marvel films, right? That's kind of the risk. Marvel can be a bit formulaic and you wind up with scenes that don't really take advantage of all the wacky things that can happen in a superhero story. All of the crazy powers and the weird movements and the inventive ways of thinking about space. And I think that there was a bit more of that in this one. So overall, I enjoyed it very much. And of course, part of that, I presume, is because I didn't have to pay for it, or at least didn't have to pay for it any more than I already was. I watched Nimona, which, I mean, I watched it on Netflix, but also it is on YouTube, or was at the time, presumably because Netflix is like putting it forward for best animated feature consideration. It's good, I thought. There were bits of it that I found unsatisfying. Is always a bit silly to say things like, well, I saw the twist coming. Because, of course, I'm an adult and this is a film for children, and fairy tales, which is kind of a genre that this draws on, are all about ritual and routine and the predictable. But still, there were bits where I kind of felt myself going, yes, yes, get on with it. But that was a small thing. Overall, I thought it was very good, and I really loved the kind of physical acting, the body language, and the comedy of the animated characters, particularly Nimona, who, even when she's not doing like tricks or shape-shifting or whatever, has a sort of physical weight to her that was very fun to watch. So I thought that was very good. The film I watched at Bad Movie Night was a Wakaliwood film, which is to say that it was a Ugandan action movie. This was Bad Black. From the people who brought you Who Killed Captain Alex, which is the only other Ugandan action movie I've ever seen. I don't know if you're familiar with like the conventions of Ugandan action films. I don't even know if this is common in the Ugandan cinema, but it happens in these ones, which is that they are accompanied by a kind of narrator called a video joker who narrates the film and also makes fun of it at the same time. And my understanding is, and I could be wrong, that this is a tradition from when films being shown in cinemas in Uganda were not always in languages that the audience could understand or that they were very fluent in. And so there would be this guy whose job was to kind of summarize what was going on. But then this turned into like making jokes and like it almost like a comedy act, this kind of meta second thing. But then the actual Ugandan film tradition sort of adopted this character, so he's now actually part of the film. I don't know if that's true or not, that's just what I've read. Anyway, the movie is bad in any objective sense, but I had a good time watching it. Although there are parts of it, like they're about things that are really sad, and the film plays them for a combination of melodrama and laughs, that didn't land with me. Maybe it would have landed with a Ugandan audience, I don't know. Gaming-wise, I can't remember if I played the most recent session of my Mythic Iceland game in January or February. Recent ones have been cancelled for health and scheduling and all the usual things, but I did get in a game of the Rogue Trader campaign that I'm playing in. That's Rogue Trader the miniatures game, rather than Rogue Trader the RPG, and it was an absolute blast. If you follow me on Instagram, you're going to see a bunch of pictures of models and scenery for it. The scenery was very beautiful. It was made by the GM running the game, a friend of mine who confuses things by also being called James. And I had a high old time. I also continue to play Six Seasons in Sartar, the RuneQuest campaign that I'm in. And for that matter, the D&D game that I'm playing is continuing. I had some sessions, you know, fought some bad guys. Actually, I haven't fought very many bad guys. It's mostly been shenanigans. I've been shenaniganing bad guys. And I ran a session of my own D&D game. One of the kind of plot points in this current arc, I guess, of my campaign, the current, like, I call them interludes when they're back at their castle doing wintry stuff, is a visit from one character's mother. And this is just an excuse for me to be kind of horrible. And I haven't yet decided whether I'm building up to her, like, getting her comeuppance or her revealing some kind of relatable vulnerability. We'll see how that goes. But it is a good opportunity to just like be super mean. And she talks in this kind of like ridiculous, you know, a handbag kind of voice. And so at one point talking to the PC, she goes, and you've been hunting today? And he's like, yeah, yes, yeah, actually we did. I led the hunt. And she says, oh, and that's what you wore? So the sort of bullying from that character is a lot of fun. Yeah, I think a good time was had by all, and plots were dropped. I was a little unhappy with my info dumping because I felt a little bit like I had drawn out a particular mystery over the length of time that I wanted to, but the majority of that time the PCs knew nothing, and then all of a sudden they got a lot of information at the end, and I think I probably could have structured it a little more smoothly. Of course, I played in the LARP event that I was talking about getting ready for last time, Pirate Christmas 2. I thought it went very well. A friend of mine, one of the players in my D&D game, in fact, made a custom piece of costume for my character. That was really cool. I felt very cool in that and got to kind of show off a little bit. Got to catch up with friends who play, talk to their characters, etc., etc. It's amazing the amount that we can get done when we don't have any of this pesky plot or missions or things like that to have to deal with. I've watched a little television. I watched the new Shogun series. I mean, or the two episodes that have come out by the time I'm recording this. I often like to have a show on the go that I can just watch, not absently necessarily, but without a huge amount of emotional investment. I often watch them while I'm going to sleep. Sometimes it's like detective shows for me, and here it's Shogun. But it's good. It's well made. I think insofar as it has problems, they rest with the material on which it's based. It is, of course, very loosely based on the life of the historical William Adams, who was a British sailor who wound up living in Japan in the late 16th to very early 17th centuries, I believe. That sounds right to me. Anyway, it's all right. I feel certain there's other things I've been doing. My schedule is starting to fill up pretty fast. Someone suggested that I join in on this panel that I guess is going to happen at UK Games Expo, an event that I hadn't really made up my mind to go to. But if that pans out, then I suppose that is where I will be in, what, the very beginning of June, I suppose it is. Also in April, I'm on my way to Salute, the big wargaming convention in London, and probably a bunch of other things that I'm not thinking about. I've also got another LARP event in April. So the schedule's starting to fill up, as is my day job schedule, something that always happens in the spring. And with exams coming up in the summer and the results of the mock or practice exams relatively recently, I think a lot of people are feeling, you know, hey, I need a little help with something. So lots of jobs for tutors. I feel like that's about it for right now. You know, it's been a very busy month, but a lot of that busy has been the Kickstarter, which is busy, but then, like, when you summarize it, it's I've been trying to promote my Kickstarter. Promoting these things is hard, and I'm actually very fortunate that I sort of already have a following, you know, that I have followers on social media, including people who, if they repost my stuff, it also gets a lot of views, that I have people that I know from, you know, from work or from the podcast, which I guess is also work, but you know what I mean, that I know from writing work or that I know from the podcast or from communities that I'm part of that will promote my projects for me, because I have friends who have struggled to get the word out about things they create, even though those things are cool. You know, those things have a great deal of value, but it's not easy to get noticed amidst so many projects that come out in February. So I'm very grateful for that. And indeed, since some of those people who helped out are listening to this right now, thank you very much. Really means a lot to me. It's nice that people have faith in the things that I make, you know, that they can look at a thing and go, ah, well, this is going to be good. And I hope that I reward that trust, but it, you know, it's just, it's really great that people feel that way. All right. Well, that is about all of the bonus content that we have time for today. In our next episode, we're going to be tackling another patron request. And if I'm right, we're going to be talking about medieval bestiaries. So I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, GonzoHistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.